Welcome to Essence, your weekly dose of Essence magazine. I am Cherise Stevens, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today, I am reading articles from the Fall-Winter 2025 issue of Essence magazine. Some of the articles I will be reading are Her House, Isleen Camps, Stella Novarino, Anifa Mwamba, and Bianca Saunders each founded a namesake design house. Their labels are now legacy brands, reshaping the global fashion landscape. Birkins over Bitcoin? Luxury bags aren't just showpieces anymore. Her House. Isleen Camps, Stella Novarino, Anifa Mwamba, and Bianca Saunders shared the vision, discipline, and faith it takes to build a lasting fashion legacy. By Andrea Bossi. Establishing a fashion house is no easy task. But leading fashion designers Isleen Camps, Stella Novarino, Anifa Mwamba, and Bianca Saunders have managed to build namesake brands that command global attention. As Black women at the helm of their own houses, they channel beauty and confidence into labels that resonate far beyond fashion. Despite operating in an industry notorious for being tough on independent designers, these couturiers have cultivated teams, expanded their influence across continents, and sustained audiences who rally around every release. Their paths to the spaces they currently occupy have been anything but conventional. An engineer turned knitwear visionary, a Haitian-Italian creative who carries activism into Milan, a designer whose second act is even stronger than her first, and a London-based talent, reshaping menswear through fluidity. Each brings heritage and imagination to her brand, grounding fashion in both the personal and the global. Beginning with independent labels, these designers have created multi-million dollar businesses, providing employment, fueling creative economies, and proving that authorship and scale can coexist. Their designs now travel across borders. They are worn on red carpets, stocked in retailers worldwide, and embraced by ever-growing communities. Every milestone reached has been on their own terms, sometimes slowly, sometimes with risk, but always deliberately. Proof that independence can be as powerful as acquisition. These are the women whose dresses draw the spotlight, whose knitwear is as intricate as ornate architecture, whose tailoring moves smoothly between genders, and whose runways spark conversations and make headlines. In their own ways, each of them has proven that a brand is more than a business. It's a language, a legacy, a life's work. To engage with their vision is to understand where fashion is going next. Isleen Camps. Camps' road to fashion design was serendipitous. She started as an engineer in New York City before quitting the firm where she worked to delve into design. Visa complications took her back to her native Trinidad in 2013. But what could have been a setback instead grounded her. There, among community and roots, she launched her eponymous brand before returning to New York 2 years later. It was really tight for a very long time, Camps recalls. At her wedding in 2023, her father joked about the hungry years, a roast that landed because it was true. Those struggles built her resilience. You don't see a lot of highly complex knits almost anywhere because they're expensive to make, she says. You can get a bolt of fabric and have a sample in a regular garment, a cut-and-sew garment, in a couple days, but it's not the same in knitwear. In Camp's hands, knitwear is more than clothing. It's an archive of patience, precision, and possibility. It's a language, one she was determined to master. She studied New York's fashion scene with the diligence of an engineer, dissecting the business while refining her craft. For years, she was a one-woman show, before slowly adding to her team. I never took no as anything other than not now, she explains. That persistence paid off in 2023 when she won the Fashion Trust U.S. Ready to Wear Award and $150,000, recognition that gave her business a crucial boost and affirmed the strength of what she was building. But Camps is also clear about what she's not building. I'm not treating this as an art project. I'm treating this as a business, and I'm not trying to be a celebrity, she says. That pragmatism shapes her choices. She hasn't hosted a fashion show yet, for example. Right now, she's focused on continuing to expand globally through retail partnerships like Farfetch, Moda Operandi, and Bergdorf Goodman. By resisting the pressure to perform, she has proven that fashion staying power doesn't come from spectacle, but from poise, persistence, and purpose. What Camps has built is steady, unhurried, and wholly her own. Stella Novarino. At the beginning, you can feel very proud of being the first, but after a time, when you see other people as good as you are, other designers, Black designers, waiting outside the door you were allowed to enter, you don't feel so proud anymore. You feel the responsibility. Novarino says, she admits she wasn't born to be an activist, but the Haitian-Italian designer has turned fashion into her platform for speaking out. Her perspective evolved quickly from being prideful to carrying weight for those who come after her. That duality of pride and responsibility has helped to shape her brand philosophy. After winning a Vogue Italia competition for young talent in 2011, she launched her namesake label, Stella Jean. Shoppers quickly fell in love with her vibrant prints, often layered on top of classic cuts like midi dresses and button-up shirts. Media icons championed her. Legends of design took notice. Giorgio Armani invited her to show her spring-summer 2014 collection at his Teatro Armani space in Milan. That same year, she became the only Black member of the Camera Nazionale della Moda Italiana, a nonprofit that promotes the development of Italian fashion. For nearly a decade, she carried that role alone. She finally left the Milan Fashion Week schedule in February 2023, a departure that signaled both protest and fatigue. Imagine building your legacy from scratch, securing support from fashion's most influential voices, then making the radical choice to step away when the industry refused to evolve with you. We are always invited to many parties, she says. Our presence is a good card to play, but when it comes to real work orders or collaborations, it's a complete other story. For her, it's the difference between visibility and true opportunity, between being photographed at the party and being trusted with the work. Novarino's upcoming return to the Milan fashion calendar is inspired by Haiti. Her mid-July visit there reminded her of fashion's other role, visibility for those too often unseen. I decided to have an event related to women's entrepreneurship, she says. These women reminded me that fashion is a powerful tool to make this community visible. We always talk about Haiti and the tragedy and the gangs and the people dying, but we have a responsibility for all that are alive. By anchoring her spring-summer 2026 collection in this reality, she's bridging Milan's runways with Haitian women entrepreneurs, insisting that the runway can also be solidarity. Novarino's legacy is built on duty as much as design. Her blueprint is responsibility as resistance, stepping back when the system fails, stepping forward when her community calls. In that balance, Stella Jean is a reminder that the strongest houses are those that stand for something beyond themselves. It's not about showing a beautiful collection, Novarino states. It's about remembering that fashion and responsibility are two sides of the same coin. Anifa Mwemba. Mwemba says her goal has always been simple, giving the girls what they want every season. Anyone who shops her Hanifa fashion brand would agree. We always talk about the woman without limits, And I'm just trying my best to be an example of that in everything that I do. She says, the designer born in Kenya to Congolese parents always had an eye for fashion. She studied fashion merchandising at Maryland-based HBCU Morgan State. Her turning point came at 21, when she made her own birthday dress. The demand it sparked convinced her to create for others. Eventually, demand was high enough for her to launch her line. Hanifa was born in 2011. But 4 years later, she closed the business, exhausted and burned out. I was soul searching, trying to find myself again, she says. I was trying to find my relationship with Christ and trying to align myself. All roads led back to Hanifa. It's a battle and a challenge to do what you're supposed to do every day. This pause would sharpen her discipline and faith, offering lessons she now leans on as much as her design skills. Her return in 2016 was marked by clarity. This time, Hanifa wasn't just about survival. It was about scale. Since then, Mwemba has built steadily. She tested a Baltimore brick-and-mortar store, hosted a 3D runway headline-making show in 2020, went viral on Twitter for her heels, debuted a bridal line, and dressed Savannah James for the 2025 Met Gala. Those moments became proof of what she could create without the institutional backing. Hanifa, the brand, is bold, feminine, and futuristic. It has become instantly recognizable, marrying Congolese cultural references with a global sense of glamour. We see the luxury brands of the world and how big they are and how much support they have financially. And that's not usually the case for independent brands, Mwemba states. Even in the beauty world, one season, we see Hailey Bieber being required for $1 billion. The next thing you know, Amy Cole says she is shutting down her business in September. Sometimes it's a challenge to dream. Ultimately, she continues to develop her craft while growing her team and family. The goal has always been about building something bigger than clothes. She's working toward creating what she calls a Black LMVMH, not just in name, but in impact, scale, and ownership. Even amid challenges, Mwemba's vision kept widening. When I found out I was pregnant with my second this year, everything shifted, she says. Suddenly, it wasn't just about legacy in a business sense. It became deeply personal. I'm not just building this for myself anymore. Grounded in faith, Mwemba is brave enough to dream, even when the path ahead feels uncertain. That's the beauty of this journey. It's never a straight line. Life happens and the vision expands with it. Bianca Saunders. I've been quite reactive in terms of making sure that any opportunity that was given to me, I made the most of it, Saunders said from her studio in London. Community has been the biggest part of my brand and what's kept it flowing. When Saunders speaks of what has carried her forward, the word she returns to is fearlessness. At just 24, she launched her brand with what she now calls the attitude of being fearless. The British-Jamaican designer admits she doesn't know if she'd have the same raw push today. But at that moment, youth, boldness, and guts were her greatest assets. Since then, she has moved with an entrepreneurial instinct, seizing opportunities as they appeared, grounding herself in people who believe in her and were drawn to the world she has built. For Saunders, it's never been just about industry recognition. I wanted to sit outside of that and have that sort of cultural fulfillment, she explains. Her brand attracts those who see themselves in her balance of tension and ease, with a vision not to reject menswear tradition, but to stretch it. She launched her eponymous brand in 2017. It's about comfort within clothing that makes people feel more themselves, she says. It's about the gestures of masculinity and the feminine nuances that's kind of set in between that. That fluidity has since become her signature, visible in subtle twist on tailoring, asymmetric drapes, and fabric treatments that carry both softness and strength. You are listening to Essence with Sharice Stevens on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is where Saunders makes her mark, a signature that is at once classy and quietly disruptive. Recognition came quickly. Paris runways, international audience, and prestigious fashion awards, including the 2021 Ann Dam Fashion Award that included a financial blessing of 300,000 euros, and mentorship from Balenciaga CEO Cedric Charbit. Yet, even as the brand entered luxury retailers like Sense, Forward, and Essex, she insisted on maintaining the intimacy of a studio practice, balancing industry scale with personal touch. Saunders keeps the line feeling more studio than corporate. That intimacy exists partly because she literally built the brand with her own two hands. In the beginning, I did everything, the pattern cutting, sewing, even making the samples. One season, I made 7 looks myself, just to test what it was like to work with a factory. Bootstrapping wasn't just financial. Saunders took the same approach to every part of her business. I've tried to always hire people that have transferable skills because we are still a small business. We operate like a startup, she explains. She says her team's adaptable skills are vital to preserving the brand and allowing the business to grow without losing its core identity. Scaling for Saunders has meant retraining her brain. She listens to CEO podcasts, studies the habits of business leaders, and forces herself to tap into the right side, the logical, analytical discipline she admits wasn't natural at first. In order to support creativity, I feel like you have to be quite business-minded, she says. Otherwise, you waste so much time doing things that don't matter. Her evolution has been about protecting her creativity through sharpening her business sense. What she dreams of, ultimately, is longevity that allows her designs to live in wardrobes for decades and also sit within cultural archives. With archiving being so strong in the culture right now, I want things that will last and be timeless, she says. As she shifts her focus to global growth and a brick-and-mortar store, she has also shifted her stance on independence. In the early days, she guarded it fiercely. Now, she welcomes collaboration and capital if it means working with the right partners. Integrity is her strongest suit, as it keeps her grounded in her why, sharp in her strategy, and fearless enough to design beyond the moment. I feel like I am a bit less attached, thinking everything needs to come from me, she says. I don't know everything, and I'm okay not knowing everything. I just want to work with the best people. Birkins over Bitcoin? Is the smart money in designer accessories? With authenticity as the gold standard, luxury bags are no longer mere status symbols. They are key components of long-term wealth strategies. By Marquita K. Harris. Carrie Bradshaw, the fictitious main character in Sex and the City, summed it up best. I like my money where I can see it, hanging in my closet. While the iconic series lacked black talent, its perspective on fashion as a form of currency has stood the test of time. Once considered a frivolous purchase, luxury handbags have quietly become savvy investments for many black women. An Hermes Birkin or a Chanel Classic 11.12 flap bag can do more than upgrade your outfit. If you do your homework and choose wisely, they can outperform some stocks and cryptocurrencies. Numbers don't lie. The data is striking. Black Americans collectively wield tremendous spending power, estimated at $2 trillion annually in the U.S. While specific data on luxury resale as it relates to Black Americans isn't available, luxury shopping amongst that demographic seems to have surged, at least according to what's trending on social media. Nielsen data reports that Black women outspend other groups in multiple categories, And this influence extends to the secondhand luxury market. Vintage and resale, in particular, have taken off. According to a census-wide survey commissioned by e-commerce platform Whatnot, 41% of consumers chose purchasing luxury handbags over contributing to their 401k. Entrepreneurs like Liberian-American Telfar Clemens, whose namesake brand, vegan leather Bushwick Birkin, bags sell out instantly and appreciate in value, underscore this shift. Even vintage pieces like early 2000s Dior saddles or Chloe Paddington's are fetching multiples of their original retail price on resale sites. And fueled by private Facebook groups like Black Girls Love Luxe and Mod Luxe Lounge, Black women, both buyer and sellers, are at the center of this booming industry. Many of them recognize that these accessories offer a kind of cultural capital and, increasingly, a financial one as well. What makes a bag a good investment? When we asked about the critical elements that make a good investment purchase, we received a crash course from trusted luxury reseller The Real Real. Authenticity is key. Hunter Thompson, director of authentication at the company, explains, "We examine key details like logo stamps, date codes, stitching, and hardware, all of which are unique to each brand and model," he says. "For high-value pieces, we also use tools like X-ray imaging and precision scanning to inspect internal construction and materials that aren't visible from the outside. Our proprietary image analysis technology, Vision, allows us to assess things like leather texture and embossing at a microscopic level." That scrutiny pays off. A well-authenticated Birkin can double in its retail value in 5 years, far outpacing common stock indexes. Demand is the real driver, especially for timeless designs. When a heritage brand reissues a beloved style, interest in the original version often surges, says a Real Real spokesperson. After Chloe's iconic Paddington was reintroduced on the fall 2025 runway, searches for the early 2000s It bag jumped 54% in 1 week. Scarcity in the form of limited releases, special order colors, and unique hardware creates further upward pressure. And this is where Black women shoppers turned investors often excel. We are known to identify trends and spot under-the-radar designers early, be it snapping up Telfar shopping bags before they went mainstream, or recognizing that a metallic Fendi baguette would appreciate faster than Bitcoin. When it comes to luxury shopping, we put our money where it matters. More than just a logo. Beyond the big names, subtle factors determine a handbag's value. Iconic brand signatures like distinctive logos and hardware matter. A Real Real spokesperson explains, "Materials matter too. High-quality craftsmanship and signature leathers not only wear well over time, but also hold their value. Limited production runs, whether from niche designers or heritage houses, can drive long-term demand, especially when tied to exclusivity or cultural relevance." New wealth strategies for the curious collector. Increasingly, Black women are not just wearing these bags. They're leveraging them as part of a long-term financial plan. For many, this is about more than just conspicuous consumption. "Buying designer handbags is one of my favorite wealth-building strategies," says Ashley Robinson, senior luxury consignment executive at The Real Real. "The most important rule is to educate yourself and do your research. Shop with reputable sources, where authentication is taken seriously. Hermès, Chanel, and Louis Vuitton consistently hold their value and top every collector's wish list." As Robinson points out, starting with iconic brands and a realistic budget can make all the difference. "Take your time and enjoy the process," she says. Who knew your handbag habit could actually be a smart investment? Smart money, smarter style. While stocks, real estate, and cryptocurrencies remain traditional routes to building wealth, luxury handbags, especially those sourced and resold with care, are turning out to be more than fleeting indulgences. Whether purchased for passion or profit, Birkins, baguettes, and other collectible bags continue to rise on discerning shopping lists. And nowhere is that truer than among Black women making their mark in this evolving market. You have been listening to Essence, with readings from the Fall-Winter 2025 issue of Essence magazine. I am Cherise Stevens, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a great day.